And I've noticed, I should share this with you, I just call it a little bit of natural healing, I think, in my throat, because I feel sometimes when I get fed through the tube, some of that water and stuff coming up, and sometimes there's water in my mouth and it wants to run to that, go down. So I thought I would try a little bit of watermelon and short cut up in small pieces, and I put it in there and just crushed it with my tongue and let a little bit of that juice go down, and at least it moistened my mouth, and it came back up, but it was there for a while, and I could taste it, and that was something wonderful, because they said I might lose my taste. So maybe I'm going to have natural healing before we get to the surgery. I don't know. But they said they'd put me on a list, too. Okay? We want to talk about a great supper, and I've got a poem here I want to read first. I went to see my friend Lee. Many of you know Lee Vic Roy, who served in World War II with 25th Infantry Division in the Pacific. About 60% of their division was wiped out. Tells me stories of just walking over dead bodies and Japanese and Americans. And we had a appointment scheduled once a week before I went into this problem of sharing a meal at Johnny's. And he never would let me pay, and it was always a joyous time. And we'd share stories, military and otherwise, and I enjoyed being there. But I had not been there since I had that surgery because I couldn't eat with him anymore. But I thought, that's not doing him right. So one day this past week, I went over to see him. And he always has a lot of poetry, and he even writes some himself. This is the one he gave me. And this talks about suffering and how the Lord sends suffering to us, and we are praying for it to pass instead to be determined to get everything you can learn from it, both for yourself and for the sake of those around you, according to the will of God. And here's how it goes. Once I heard a song of sweetness as it filled the morning air, sounding in its blessed completeness like a tender pleading prayer. And I sought to find the singer where the wondrous song was born. And I found a bird quite wounded, pinned down by a cruel thorn. I have seen a soul in sadness while its wings with pain were furled, giving hope and cheer and gladness that should bless a weeping world. And I knew the life of sweetness was of pain and sorrow born, and a stricken soul was singing with its heart against a thorn. You are told of one who loved you, of a Savior crucified. You're told of nails that held him and a spear that pierced his side. You are told of cruel scourging, of a Savior bearing scorn, and he died for your salvation with his brow against a thorn. You're not above the Master. Will you breathe a sweet refrain, and his grace will be sufficient when your heart is pierced with pain? Will you live to bless his loved ones, though your life may be bruised and torn, like that bird that sang so sweetly with its heart against the thorn? A lot of lesson in that for us, I'm sure. We're talking about the invite to the Great Supper, and Travis got ahead of my message and invited people. And, of course, we had a Wednesday night young man that was sharing with us, and he did some of the same. But he talks about a Great Supper. And when I read this story, I want to find out, why is it a Great Supper? And, of course, we have the excuses that they give, and you'll meet with any of those excuses if you invite people the same thing. And the first one, he talks about how he's bought some oxen. And think of the times that we invite people, and their possessions is what stands in the way. I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I have to do this because I have all this stuff. And we just make those excuses. And, of course, one talks about the piece of ground. I see people out mowing the yard before I ever come to church on Sunday morning. A lot of my grass gets ahead of me, but I just could not, I don't believe, mow on Sunday. I can remember a story at home, true story. I was just a kid, and Mom was about the only one that was sounding out church and things like that. My dad was so backslidden and a drunk at the time. And we had to do something, and we were putting racks on a truck because Dad wanted to haul some cattle away on Monday morning. And he said, I have to put the racks burners on that truck. We have to fix that truck. Mom, I can see her with her dish towel folded, said, please don't, Ray. It's not going to gain you a thing. And he said, well, I got to do it. And we did it. Monday morning, some wire got crossed in the truck, and the truck bed just burned right up. We didn't get to take him. And though I was just a little kid, that left a lasting impression upon me. And another time, we had to do some plowing. It had been raining too much. And, of course, all we had was mules and horses. And my mother again saying, Ray, please don't work today. You need your rest. And he didn't listen. And we plowed with those horses. And one of the prettiest horses we had, the very best one, Monday morning was laying out there with all 4 feet in the air. Those things left lasting impressions upon my life. And I wonder how we've got to be a country, a nation, and Christians, and we just take Sunday like any other day. But anyway, he gave his excuses. And, of course, the last one talked about his marriage, his family. Of all the reasons that we ought to be in church, and one place we ought to be to church together is with our family. And we should be a family in the church, the family of God, that we sing about sometimes, right? And to think that we forego that, I'm going to take my family fishing, I'm going to take my family to the lake, I'm going to take my family out to eat, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do thus and thus. And I'm not belittling those things. If you've got property, you should take care of it. If you've got things, you should be careful to use them for God. But when we use those excuses that we can't be to the great suppers that He invites us to in the house of God, the Lord will get us sooner or later. He'll get us. He's not, His eyes not dim that He cannot see. So when a servant came back and told the master, he said, look, I invited these people, but they got all the excuses. Notice what it says. He's very angry. God is angry when we don't listen to Him. God, people think, oh, He's a lovely grandfather sitting up there with fluffy pillows. And listen, the wrath and fury of God is going to fall on lives in this world one of these days. And we haven't seen anything yet. As a matter of fact, we'll see in a moment, there's a verse over in Revelation. I'll read it to you in a moment. When that battle of tribulation goes on and the dead bodies start piling up, there's going to be birds, which are buzzards, I guess, to the, I don't know what they call them over there in that country, that are going to be there to clean up the mess. We'll see that. That's how bad it's going to be, because it'd be a great supper for the vultures to clean up. Will it be your body? Will it be your family's bodies that are because they put that off and haven't come to the great supper? So the Lord said, you go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And you get the weak, the sickly, the trodden, the poor, the downcast. That's who God wants. It makes some of the uppity-uppity people mad when I say that. But God is looking for sinners. He loves sinners. He wants them to be saved. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's nobody too bad for God. And actually, we're all bad within where we need to be changed. And he said, listen, we don't know how many invites we're going to get. He said, for none of them which were bidden shall come. We don't know how many invites God give. We don't know how many examples that God's going to give you and I, like a dead horse or a burnt up truck or whatever in your life. And I hear people say, well, everything I do seems to just go bad. Do you ever stop to think it's not the world that's wrong, but you're headed the wrong way? It's like the boy who was rubbing the cat, and he was rubbing the cat backwards. Do you ever rub a cat backwards? They don't like that. They kind of stand up and hump up and meow. Well, the preacher came by, and he said, son, you're rubbing that cat the wrong way. He said, no, preacher, he's just headed the wrong way. So that's the way we are. When we get ruffled about things, maybe we ought to stop and check and see, when was the last time I paid my tithes to the church? When was the last time I was in church? When was the last? Or did I give up for other things to go do other things instead of coming to God? Not wrong to have possessions. Not wrong to have. I saw a guy taking a fishing rod down the lake. We was out there at Cowan's Gap. He could reach almost across that lake with that rod. You know, Cowan's Gap's not that big. He had that rod flipping around. I thought he could reach clear to the other side with that thing. But that's all right. If you can afford that kind of stuff, but what are you giving to God? And are you going to the supper? Now let's look at some why this is called a great supper. It's a great invite because Jesus is the one inviting. He's inviting the people to come and sit with him. You know, if you invited me to your house every day and said, come to my house and eat, and I didn't come, after a while, you'd quit inviting me. You say, he don't like me. He's not coming to my house. Well, Jesus is the same way. One day he says, enough, enough. I've invited you and I've invited you and you didn't come. And then you'll hear those awful, tormented words, depart from me, for I never knew you. What about that? Look what happens to them in the introduction there. If you're there, Jason, Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. People say, well, now, wait a minute. I haven't confessed him, but I haven't denied him. Silence is an answer no to God. When you don't respond to God and his invitation, but just saying, oh, I'm neutral. There is no neutral. You're either for him or against him. There's no fence. You're either on Satan's side or you're on God's side. You just, there's no in between there. And notice who's calling us. God goes to great pains to make sure we know we hear. It's not what you hear or when you hear a message here. It's when you leave here and that Holy Spirit keeps studying at your heart about, did you hear what the preacher said? And when you pick up that tool on Sunday morning, next Sunday morning to go to work and do something else instead of come to the house of God, and that Spirit's hitting you and hitting you and hitting you, and you drop it on your toe and it bangs on your toe and you're saying, why did that happen? God's trying to speak to you. God's trying to talk to you. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, the church. That's what it's all supposed to be doing. Not just your job, my job, it's everybody's job. We're supposed to invite. We're supposed to be excited about this great time we're going to be with him. Now, here's the verse I spoke about earlier. When that great tribulation battle is over, notice when he's calling those vultures in, Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that hears say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and they will drink of that water freely. I'm sorry, I have the wrong verse. Let's go back to it. It's actually at the close of my message this morning. I forgot where it was. Go to conclusion there a minute, Jason. Are you inviting others? And we tell others they're going to die, but they don't come. The great invitation. Back to our introduction there. But we saw the angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls, here we go, and fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of our great God. He's providing for those vultures to eat the carcasses of people that are animals that are killed during that great battle. God's not fooling around. God's not kidding about this stuff. You know, we talk about the terrible wars. The bomb goes off in Afghanistan and kills 5 or 6 people or 20. That's horrible. That's horrible. And if it's your loved ones, your our soldiers, that's horrible. But think of it when they're piled upon piles as big as this church and the birds are digging through and eating the bodies. Because it's great because of the celebration. And the sun tells us, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are the true sayings of God. Number two, it's a great invite because a great salvation is awarded. This is where people hear about God and where how people know how to get saved. People ask me all the time, how do you know which church to go? How do you know? You go where they talk about Jesus and his grace and his love and how to get saved. That's where you go. And if they don't have that, no matter how much they have besides that, they don't have church. It may look like a church. They may act like a church. But if it don't have Jesus, it's not a church. It's just a religious organization. And you can find them all up and down. Do the best you can. Put your money in the plate. See you next Sunday. That is not God's house. That is man's house. That's man's religion. Notice that verse that says that. And not only the lost that miss salvation and neglect salvation, but we that saved. When we talk about everything but salvation, about how we're going to fill up, how we're going to fill the Christmas program, how we're going to do this, how who's going to drive a van, that's all good stuff. But We need to keep talking about great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them by that heard him? And notice the Lord speaks about it. We hear him, then we're supposed to speak about it. That's what our duty, the whole duty of man, is to give out the message of God. Then notice number three, this is a great invite because great needs will be met. We all have that need. But think about a time when there'll be no cancered bodies, there'll be no broken bones, there'll be no brain injuries, there'll be no children born with deficiencies. Think about a time like that. The halt and the maimed are made whole and given a complete life. You know, you start realizing the best thing that will ever happen is when we shed this body that's all wicked anyway and drags us through all the troubles that we get into and gets marred and scarred. So one day we'll be able to lay all that down and get our new body and put on a starry crown. So that servant came in number three there, Luke 14:21, and showed his Lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, now listen to what it's saying here for those people that get upset with thinking God wants us all righteous and cleaned up. We can't make ourselves righteous and cleaned up. It's only God can do that. Go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind, and many more deficiencies that human bodies have and the human has. And not only the physical body, but think about the spiritual, where we sin against God, sin against our fellow man, sin against our family, sin against our church, by the things that we think and the things that we do. And the devil just loves to grind that. You know, there's enough dirt going around sometimes, I think, to plant the whole world. And it's a terrible world when you have got or a terrible Christianity or a terrible church, when you have got to tear down everybody else to make yourself look good. Only person that can make you look good is God. And God has to show you how bad you are till he can show you how good he can make you. He said, I'm not looking for the righteous to call to repentance. I'm looking for the sinner to call him to repentance. I want him to be saved. And we need to have that compassion. And we know that it's difficult. Number four, this is a great invite because of the great rejection. Many have accepted him, but so many have not. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a real place where there's suffering and torment and screams and cries for eternity and eternity. As long as heaven is, that's how long hell is. It's not a place where bodies are dumped and souls are cast and it's over and a flash of the pan with the fire. It's to go on and on and on through eternity. People need to understand that. We've been we actually just live like hell and then think there is no hell and wonder why God made something, like we make that story up. We've let that go. We don't believe in prisons anymore. We believe in correctional institutes. I saw on the television over the weekend where somebody was interviewing some inmates who are being put in these retention centers, or whatever they call them, of these people that are coming across the border illegal, and they put them in there. And he was testifying to the interviewer of how good he had it. He said, we got good food. We got air conditioning, we got clothes, we got recreation, we can go outside, we can choose what we want. My gosh, no wonder they're running to our borders. But that's not, we just don't believe in punishing people anymore. You know, when in England, they had the death penalty by hanging. The mothers would take their young boys down to the hanging that day and show their boys, you watch what's going on, because if you get into trouble and rob and steal and drink and do crazy stuff, that's how you're going to wind up. And make them watch it. And they say, well, I don't want to watch 9/11 anymore. I wish they would show it 5 times every day, 100 times every day, to show what the evil people will do to us No wonder we say, we should stay out of the affairs of others. If we stay out of the affairs of others, you know, if your neighbors have rats, it's not long till you're going to have rats. Amen? And we're getting the rats clamoring to America because we've said, okay, we can't solve all the problems, but we better take care of America first. Amen? It's our country. And we're supposed to change to have all those people, they think it's all right to wear a rag around their head, so they can wear a rag around their head, but you can't wear a flag on your shirt. Or you can't have John 3:16 on your shirt. But they can throw a rug down on the floor and jump on it and start screaming, Ollie, Ollie, and all that stuff. And we're supposed to accept that because that's the way it was back in that country. Well, I say yes, go back to your country if that's what you like. We're not changing ours. Amen? Oh, we shouldn't say that. The president said he should say that. I don't know if some of you got the cartoon I sent. I thought it was funny. The president had the president had those four women, you know who they are, all dressed up in astronaut suits. And he said, I've got a program. I'm sending women astronauts to the moon. I thought, and no one way back. Out of fuel when you land. Amen. Let them go. We're so afraid to be right, we let everybody be wrong, and we won't speak out. We're afraid to be right. We're afraid to stand up for what is right. We're afraid to do what's right. We live in those days, if you don't wear tattoos and a bunch of dangly earrings and all over your body and say a bunch of words and slink around with your pants. There was somebody up there at that lake yesterday. I'm telling you, I had to turn my head to walk this way. I mean, their whole body was showing. I'm thinking, my Lord, you know, it was ugly anyway. Why do you want to take it out in public? I think you'd want to hide a body like that and cover it up. God said to Adam and Eve, we need to cover you guys up. But we act like it's fun now the sun's out, show all the stuff we got, and makes you sick, doesn't it? The great rejection, hell. Matthew 24:51. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, the wife's going to be down there gnashing her teeth upon the husband who dragged her to the parties and instead of going to church and raising the kids in the house of God. Screaming, why did you let this happen? The druggie's going to be gnashing on the drug dealer. The drunk's going to be gnashing on the bartender. On and on and on it goes. And that guy that they got, I don't know what they're doing to him now, that was using teenage girls under the age of 12 for his sexual pleasures. They ought to stick toothpicks under his fingernails and in his eyeballs and in his ears and light them all with fire and tie his hands behind him, nail him down to a stump. Really? To treat children like that? That's nothing but children. We're now having children having babies. There's reports of girls less than 12 years old having babies. What kind of sick society are we when God made this beautiful thing between a man and woman to start a family and bring a family into the world? Craziness like we've never seen before. Matthew 25:30, he says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Luke 13:28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves are thrust out. It's going to happen one of these days. And number six, it's a great invite because we're invited to invite hurting people. You can go out here and try to sell cars, not everybody needs one. You can go out here and try to sell watches, not everybody needs one. But when you go out and take a simple track, talk to people about Jesus and invite them, everybody you meet, the rich, the lawyer, the educated, the uneducated, the dumb, the sick, the hurting, the maimed, God wants you to invite them all. He said, tell them all to come. I want them all. What kind of a God we have? A great, big, wonderful God. And His grace covers all of that. People say, oh, I can't come to church, Pastor, the roof would fall in. First of all, that's stupid. But if it did, we probably needed a new one anyway, right? What's the good as a roof? Well, as a matter of fact, if the rapture comes, we're going to go right through it anyway. Leaving ain't going to bother us. No restrictions holding me down. There'll be nobody down in Cape Canaveral or Houston or wherever they are counting down 5, 6, or however they count. When we go, he says, we'll be snatched out in the twinkling of an eye, leaving the world. You ready for that day? Talk about excitement. I seen a guy running on a skateboard up there yesterday. I'm thinking, wow, I don't know how he keeps from falling doing that stuff. And I see them in the, if they're real, where they take them and jump up on a railing going down the steps and grow down. Have you seen that? How do they do that? I don't know. I couldn't even jump down the steps. I'd be laying all over them. I mean, at my best day. Of course, I'm not talking about now. So we're to invite him. And Jesus came and spake and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. God, people say, well, I just don't know how to talk to people. That's the biggest lie you ever told. Just give me a subject that you'd like to talk about and we can talk all day. But when it comes to Jesus or God or church, we go deaf. Or we complain. Oh, there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Well, we got a few seats left. Come on, fill up the rest of them. Amen. That's all we all are. We all are not what we should be. Amen. Would you say that? I'm not near what I should be. I need a lot more of God still working on me. I need a lot to change. And he said, go therefore. Notice the first word in the gospel is go. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Very inconvenient to get dressed and get into some water in a tank. But God said do it to show that you're saved and you're taking this Bible literally and believe it to be true and you want to follow what God said. Then he says, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Notice it's a command. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it's a command. You'd think it's a ho-hum, whatever. God says, I'm commanding you to do this, to go out and get these people. And whatsoever, lo, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world. In conclusion, answer these questions for yourself if they fit. Have you accepted the invitation? Have you accepted God's invitation? I can remember the first time I really knew God was calling me. When I saw that truck burn up and I was in a little Holy Roller church about as far from here to the parking lot from our house. Preacher didn't know what he was preaching, but he scared me. And I can remember when the invitation was given, grabbing hold of the pew, and I could hear it crack all the way down through there because my heart was young and tender. And, you know, I rejected, and I rejected. And after a while, it didn't bother me. I know this show. I've been through this show before. I know they're going to end in a few minutes, and I can get out of here. Just take a deep breath while they're singing, just as I am, and I'm shaking because I know just as I am ain't good enough. But after a few times, I got over it. And one day I realized, John, you have a hard heart. You really hardened as a grown young man and rejecting Christ and jumping out of airplanes and landing in jungles and sliding out of a helicopter and thinking I was the hottest thing around and I was the toughest guy they could find. But one day when drink and bad living got me on my back, I said, God, we got to end this. And you know, nobody was singing just as I am. Nobody was singing come. Just God's Spirit thumping on my heart. But it was a light tapping. And I knew I didn't want that to go away. And far away my mother, I'm sure, was playing in our little old Kentucky shack house. And God touched my heart. And I responded and he saved my soul. I haven't been what I should have been. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. And you know what? I really praise God. I'm not what I'm going to be. Amen. Because I've accepted him. So have you accepted your invitation? Notice what Jesus said in John 6:37, and all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. You're not too bad and you're not too good. You're just right. God's got something just exactly for you. And then if you are, you have accepted the invitation, you are saved, are you inviting others? Notice Ezekiel 3:18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in iniquity, but his blood but I require it all thine hand. People say, oh, that's the Old Testament. You remember when Paul said, when he was writing to the Ephesians, he said, I cease not night and day to warn you with bitter tears. Therefore, I am free from the blood of all men. The blood of Fulton County will be on our hands if we don't give out the gospel. The blood will be somewhere in this world when some missionary knocked on our door. How do you say no to these missionaries? How do I say no to them? I get calls all the time. I'm thinking, I don't know how many more we can do. But that young man and his wife here, she's expecting a baby, their first baby, and just got up here and really preached the Word of God. I thought, my soul, we need to take on more missionaries. We need to get more people out. We need to get our people out. God help us to invite others to come, no matter who they are, no matter how many times they've been rejected, that they might come to Christ. One salvation. God told me, I've been saved many times. No. We're not talking about saved from a car wreck. We're talking about saved in your soul. When you're born again inside, it's like you're born again outside. That's going to last forever somewhere. You see? That's why we got to be born again, because we need to be right with Him. Amen? Are you ready? Simple invitation. Let's stand. While they begin to play, that altar's open if you need to come and accept God's invitation to you, or if you need to accept His invitation to be an inviter for Him, to go invite people to come. You need to do that. Would you bow with me in prayer? And while your heads are bowed, would you think about these penetrating questions? You're never too old to invite people. As a matter of fact, when you get old and retired, then you have more time to invite people. Everywhere you go, restaurant, post office, store, wherever it is, out in a crowd, at a gathering of senior citizens, ought to be a time to invite people to come to the Lord. And maybe you're here and you know some family members, and you've tried and you've begged and you've pleaded. Just keep going. You're not done inviting people till the last knock of your heart stops and you're taken home. Then you'll be done. And I promise you that none of us will be in the presence of God very long until we'd wished we'd had invited and done so much more. Like that little bird, if you're suffering, could only sing a sweet refrain, Jesus, who bore our salvation. You don't know what I'm going through, Pastor Oz. You don't know how I've been hurt. The church has hurt me. Listen, we all been hurt. We all been abused. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. I used to think, yeah, you'll have trouble. Wait till you get a big dose of it. But Jesus said it would come, because springtime in heaven, beauty in heaven comes soon. And sooner or later, we're all going to go one way or another, feet first or head first. We're going to go. Are you ready? Number 500, our invitation, if God's calling you still, please come. Don't reject Him anymore. The great invitation to come.
And for the people who I did invite, I didn't whisper to Pastor Hodge, or Pastor Hodge didn't whisper to me what his message was about. So, as I said before, these ideas aren't coming from me. They're coming from God. All for Jesus.
All for Jesus. All my being ransomed powers. All my thoughts and wounds are doings. All my days and all my hours. All for Jesus. Jesus, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours.
Verse 4.
Oh, what wonder, how amazing, Jesus, glory, King of kings, deigns to call me his beloved, lets me rest beneath his wings. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings.
They have a Bible conference going on in Altoona this week. Starts this morning. Pastor Ron Dull and his church people host that. Brother Dave Kistler is one of the speakers. They usually have two speakers there. They preach two services every night, and they alternate. One will preach the early one, one will preach the later one. And I've invited for the last couple of years to go up and have part in that. And I responded when they called me and told them I'd go. But what they do in between those two services, they have a big meal. So everywhere I go, they have a big meal, and I can't have any of it. So I was thinking about backing out of it this year. But I think since what they're doing is inviting people and getting preachers in their church and their mission program, so they would do it. And I saw where Brother Dan Humble had his, they had their conference, I think, last week or the week before up there, too. It used to be camp meetings go on in the summertime. So I guess I'll be going up there tomorrow night. So pray for us. And I have to take my wife along because I got to have my food with me close by every once in a while, or else I can't make it anymore. And I'm thinking it's at least 10 weeks till October the 10th. But I've come 7 months, so I guess I can do 10 more weeks, right? I used to run marathons, and they'd give you split times. When you cross the 15-mile marker, they'd say so much time, and I'm thinking, okay, I got this thing about whip. I can do it. I can keep doing it, get a new life, and go. So we're doing the marathon. All right? Hey, be back in church tonight. We're going to have some more fun. Enjoy ourselves. At least Travis and I are. And hope you enjoy it as well. Brother Woody, is he back there somewhere? Yeah, there you are, looking right at me. Would you have our closing prayer this morning, please?